Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment and our programs by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Glenda Tate, Assistant Administrator, Office of Human Resource Management, the Federal Aviation Administration. Welcome, Glenda.
Thank you, Paul. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm really excited about having an opportunity to share with you and the audience today what's going on in the Federal Aviation Administration.
Well, that's great. Let's begin with my first question, which is, I think we all know about the FAA, from the Wright brothers to air travel, but perhaps you could take a minute to describe its overall mission and its functions.
Well, the Federal Aviation Administration has really two kind of separate functions. First of all, we have an operational capacity, and that is we're responsible for the air traffic services in the country. But we also have a regulatory function as well, where we're responsible for making sure that of the safety aspect of making sure that the airlines that fly, that they're safe, particularly in putting out rules and regulations that really talk to both maintenance and inspection and upkeep of aircraft as well. We also are responsible, as much of our audience would know, as of late, for the security operations as well in the aviation arena. And more importantly, in the last few days or so, I think many of your readers certainly may have seen a lot about the FAA in the security arena as well. So two kind of primary functions that we're responsible for. We're one of the few agencies, government agencies, if you will, that really has an operational capacity. And that is where we have a large number of our workforce, the air traffic controllers, that are really engaged in monitoring air traffic control system throughout the country. That's a little bit about what we do.
And I'm sure only our most astute listeners understand the human resource responsibility. So could you describe the activity of the FAA's Office of Human Resource Management for our listeners?
Well, in human resources, we really see ourselves as a kind of strategic business partner in the agency. And we really see our role as an enabling capacity, if you will. We want to be sure that we have in place the infrastructure to be sure that we are both building the capacity around human capital, if you will, but also a support function to ensure that not only are we building that human capital, but that we are addressing issues around making sure that we are retaining the kind of workforce that we need as well. So we are a business partner. We are engaged in hiring, setting forth all kinds of human capital strategies, if you will, for the organization, planning for the future around our human assets, and also in making sure that we are addressing the needs of individuals as they come into the organization as well. So both on the front end of making sure that we're recruiting and hiring appropriately, making sure that there is a model work environment when employees come into the organization, and also on the retention end. One of the things we want to be able to do is to ensure that we are both recruiting individuals who are both interested in continuing to work for the Federal Aviation Administration as well. And so the retention issue for us is very important.
Help me put this in context. How many employees are there at the FAA, and what type of skills do they have? You described such a diverse list of responsibilities earlier. I'm trying to imagine what type of people you're trying to recruit and retain.
Sure, Paul. We have about 7 or 8 really key occupations. We have about 48,000 employees who are working for the agency, and I want to tell you that we maintain a 24-hour, 365-day operation in the agency. Some of our key occupations are, I mentioned before, have to do with air traffic control, our aviation security function. We also have a great number of our employees who are responsible for system maintenance. So, for example, if you're flying and we want to be sure that the radar is operating appropriately, we have around 7,000 of our employees who are engaged in system maintenance. But we also have individuals that are involved in the aviation inspection, and so that we are working with the airlines, again, to ensure that planes are maintained in an appropriate manner. We have a fairly large aviation research function as well. So in addition to some of these other key occupations I mentioned, we hire a great number of engineers. In all of the occupations in the engineering capacity, electronic engineers, structural engineers, electrical engineers. This is just to mention a few of the occupations.
And how big is the Office of Human Resource Management?
We have a headquarters organization, and then we have 10 regional functions, if you will, that really are spread out throughout the country.
And tell us about your career. How did you become an HR professional?
Well, human resources is something that I started in this field about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago. And I will tell you, I have a great deal of passion around the human resources profession, really interested in making sure, if you will, that we are staying on top of what we need to around human capital and how that really impacts an organization. I think quite often we end up talking about organizations in the context of the mission, only the mission. But if you will, the organization really is made up of its people. And anytime we have the opportunity to put the human capital issue in the forefront, again, I have a great deal of passion around that. So been in the field for about, the human resources field for about 20 years. I did spend some time doing other kinds of things, really working in program evaluation and that kind of thing. It's interesting. I started out in human resources, spent about 15 years there, and then decided I wanted to do something else. And so I left that and went to do some other things, working at the Office of Management and Budget for a while, and decided after about 7 years, I guess, of doing that, that I really wanted to come back to work in the human resources arena. So again, something I'm very interested in and something I have a great deal of passion around.
How did you develop this passion? Was it experiences? I mean, for a long time, people thought of HR not as a strategic partner and doing a back office kind of function. How did you develop this passion?
Well, I think just starting out in the field early on, human resources used to be more of what I would call a kind of policing and enforcement function, if you will. So we were engaged in making sure that we knew the regulations and making sure that most people adhered to those regulations. I left the organization, the function, if you will, and became a manager in, as I said, a program evaluation arena. And it was really at that time, almost sitting on the other side of the table, if you will, where I was using the resources from the human resources organization. At that time, we called it personnel, that I really began to understand both the importance of this particular function. So it was almost that I had to go over on the other side to see the real value of what human resources could the value that it could add in an organization. And so I came back to this function with the passion because I'd sat on the other side and had an opportunity to be able to look at it and say, here are the kind of things that we need to be doing. We don't need to be policing and enforcing. We need to move to a place where we can be a strategic partner to actually help accomplish the mission of the organization. And it was with that notion that, as I said, I ended up back in human resources and, as I said, still really excited about this kind of work.
What drew you to a career in public service?
Well, it was really kind of almost by accident, if you will. I started out working for the Corps of Engineers in Italy right after I got out of college. And I had an opportunity there to observe in a foreign country how the U.S. government was viewed. And it was with a great deal of respect. The folks there were almost in awe. We actually worked for the Corps of Engineers, and we worked with citizens from Italy at that time. And after working there for about 2 years, and then I came back to the Washington, D.C. area, I decided that I wanted to work in the public sector. And that's sort of how I ended up in this capacity.
Is there any one job or experience that best helped you get to your present present position?
Well, I think almost everything, every job that I've had, to be honest with you, has really had some impact on where I am now. There is something that you gain from every experience that you have. But if I had to choose one example, it would be the job that I took when I left Human Resources. It really had an impact on me because I had the opportunity, as I said, to really look at the operation that I had been in for so many years and to really be objective about what we were doing. And so I would say that that was probably the one position that I would think above all others probably had the most impact.
All right, well, that's a good stopping point. Rejoin us after the break when we ask Linda Tate about the possibility of a new pay system at FAA. Can pay for performance become a reality? This is the Business of Government Hour.